Glass, so.
I'm gonna set that right there.
Oh my gosh.
That's okay. Hi everyone, my name's Amy and I'm an addict.
Hi.
First of all, I want to say it's an honor and a privilege to be asked to share at anything for Narcotics Anonymous, and especially this retreat. I love this retreat. I've been up here a couple times. It's amazing. And I know that God truly is at work in my life and in my recovery. My clean date's 3/20/08. However, I do know this is a Just for Today program, and I'm grateful for Just for Today. Pain shared is pain lessened. Recently, I've been in a lot of pain. A lot of pain. But what I found out is pain is inevitable. Misery is my option. Where do I stay? Do I stay in that pain? Do I get out of the pain? And how do I get out of that pain? You know, in our literature, in the basic text, it tells us in recovery and relapse, we find that pain shared is pain lessened. Members of the fellowship are willing to have help a relapse or recover and have insight and useful suggestions to offer when asked. Recovery found in Narcotics Anonymous must come from within, and no one stays clean but for anybody but themselves. And that talks about relapse. For me, the relapse right now is not the chemical. For me, the relapse possibilities are allowing my character defects to come back and to act on those character defects. And I'll admit they've come back, and I'll admit I've acted on them. You know, now what do? You know, I share. I come into meetings. I share honestly about what's going on in my life. You know, I put it all out there. When my grandmother died and my grandmother raised me, I came into the rooms and I shared about it to find out somebody who went through it, how to get through it and not use and not stay stuck. When my mother died, I was at a function. I was part of a service group at a function, and the phone call came on my phone, and I knew what the phone call was. I wasn't answering it. Because I knew what the phone call was. I knew it was deathbed, and I knew that's what the phone call was. So when I went and listened to the voicemail, and I called, and I stepped out of my car because I shared what was going on, and they're like, go answer. And I'm like, no, because I know what it is, and I don't want to hear it right now. But when I stepped out of my car after that phone conversation, I had about 8 women standing around my car waiting for me. And from that group of women, men came in, other people that I've served with, other people that I've shared with, other people that have become part of my we. They came and they circled me and they carried me through it, you know, and that's what it is. If I share with you and I tell you this pain, that means I'm looking for a suggestion. I'm looking for help. And sometimes I'm just looking for a shoulder. You know, my pain right now is so great. The first person I call out this to is God. First person I call out to is God. You know, I've screamed, I've cried, I've hollered, I've been on my hardwood floor and wiped up snot when I'm done because I'm down there beating my floor up because the pain is just so great. In a fetal position because of the pain I've been in the past year. And my pain is based on a relationship. It's based on a marriage. It's based on a 10-year relationship. It's based on a marriage falling apart. I look at my part that I played. My enabling, my people pleasing, my caregiving. I look at all that. So I own up to my part. I didn't let a man be a man in some ways. I also look in the part that I didn't play. At first I was a victim. At first I was a victim of some actions. When I kept allowing him to come back home, I became a willing participant. And that's when the pain grew. And I came in the rooms and I shared. And I came in the rooms and I shared. I had to leave certain rooms because, our literature tells us here. I read this morning and I've read this before. You know how like you read our literature and you read it, but then all of a sudden something clicks on it. And it says, ending a relationship doesn't mean someone has to be wrong or bad. In fact, it can be the best thing for all involved. We feel the pressure to stay in a relationship for social approval, kids, complacency, or fear, even though when we know it's time to go. It's an act of courage to do what we think is right without having to create damage to justify our actions. I had to leave the rooms, my one home group. I had to leave that home group because the other person was in that home group. Because opinions had been developed. Chitter-chatter had started. You know, we're a society within a society, and we have our own newspaper. I've been the headlines lately in my area. I had to leave my area. I didn't feel safe. I was threatened. I had to walk in. I walked into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous with mace and a knife. One pocket here and one pocket here. Because I feared for my life because I was threatened. I had to leave there. Because, you know, we say take all drugs, weapons, and paraphernalia outside. I had weapons. I've also shared that with people, and they say they were protection devices. Some say they're weapons, some say they're protection devices. I got through that by going to other areas, going to different meetings, sharing honestly at different meetings. First meeting I walked into that I didn't carry it, I shared that I was no longer carrying it because I was no longer putting... It was my choice to stay in that pain of going to those meetings. So I left those meetings, and I go to other meetings. And I share honestly at the meetings that... If I can't get through my pain, if I don't share with you what's going on and share with you honestly and tell you, look, I'm balled up. I want to cause pain. I want to act out. I want to do tit for tat. What's it going to get me? What's it going to get me? Back into my character defects. Back into where I grew from, where I don't want to be. So I come here and you tell me how you got through it. Male or female, I don't care. Tell me how you got through it. That's what I need. And when I share, when I tell God and pour it out, I feel better. When I tell another recovering addict, it lifts a burden because this is not a me, it's a we. I can't do this, but we can. You know, I don't want to live that life. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt my husband. I don't want to hurt him. But if I keep it all balled up and I don't tell you what's really going on, I will. No, I have. I have. Purposely set out to hurt him because of the pain he caused me. And I stepped back out of that. And the only way I could do that, this is really funny, the only way I could do that is go to my first husband, who's still in active addiction, and talk to him, because there was pain there. When I left him and got clean, there was pain there, and I caused him pain purposely because of the pain he caused me. And I had to go to him, and we're cool, you know, like, you know, we've got children, we have grandchildren together, and we have to associate. And I've gone through the process of dealing with him and forgiving him. You know, and he has forgiven me. And I went to him, and he looked at me. I went to look for my daughter, and she wasn't at his house. And he looked at me, and he said, something's wrong. What's going on with you? He's like, he's not messing with you, is he? He's not doing so, blah, 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 whatever. And I started to cry. My ex-husband hasn't seen me cry in over 10 years. But I started to cry. And I shared with my ex-husband. Oh, well, how weird was that? But I shared with my ex-husband. And he gave me insight from a man's point of view. From the other side of the coin. From the other side of the coin. Because, see, it's not also just about when I share to you and you've gone through it, how to help me. But the person on the other side. They can help me too. And he did. You know, it was really, really odd. It was really, really like one of those aha moments, you know, like light bulbs just started clicking on. And, you know, I'm grateful that I'm able to do that. And it lessened my pain. You know, when I got asked to speak on this topic, I said, F you. I said, F you, because the person was fully aware of what was going on in my life and knew that I was in this pain and knew that I was balled up in fetal position multiple times, lashing out, running my mouth. You know, nicknamed Billy Badass. You know, I don't have anything to back it up, but I'll run my mouth like crazy. You know, I drive around with a baseball bat in my car. Well, you know, like, and here's the thing is I had to put a glove in there because, you know, like a baseball bat is a weapon. But if I got a glove, I can stay up just on hitting balls with my kids, you know. So I have to cover myself. I don't want to live like that, but that's where I was. You know, that's where I am. I'm still there. I'm still in pain. But this program has taught me through prayer, through meditation, through sharing honestly, through coming here and telling you, I'm balled up. I hurt. I don't want to go backwards. I've gone backwards in some areas, and I hate it. Because now I got to do the work all over again. You know, like my sponsor put me on a personalized 4-step on relationships. Holy what? You know, like, she's like, forget step 2. We're going to put you on this personalized. And she sat through the book, and she wrote out some questions for me. And when I was reading The Living Clean, I'm like, that's where she got those questions. I really don't like her. You know, I'm doing the work. But through that, I've looked at step, you know, like, we're going to go over it. But I already see step 6 and 7 and know, you know, where my character defects are and allowing those shortcomings to come to life. Because there's some shortcomings like, damn it. I got to be honest. You know, he still has mail coming to the house. He's been gone since April, but he hasn't changed his address. So the catalogs come to the house. I have an issue with that. He got credit on the catalog. So I'm looking at the catalogs, you know, dog earring the books, and I take them outside. No, I take them to the garbage, put them in the garbage, in the recycle bin, because they're paper, so. And then just like I did with my set of works, 2 days later, I'm in the garbage digging it out because he said something that made me mad. And I share about it. So I got to take it to the street so it's out of my house. Because see, that's a drug for me right now. Shopping in your name and not caring what it does. That's a drug for me. So I take it to the street. Yay, I'm good. I'm good for like 2 weeks. Don't you know more catalogs came? More catalogs came. And I acted out this time. I acted out. I did. I come home and I look at my porch and I'm like, what'd I do? I was like, oh, crap. I've created a bill that's not in my name, but it's coming to my house. So I think I have to be a responsible member of society and pay that bill. Boy, is that ditch big. Is that ditch big? You know, I'm like, oh, I got an air fryer. Didn't tell you that it's not in my name. Oh, to give me recipes, tell me what to do. I didn't tell you it's not in my name. It's a bill that, you know, as a responsible member of society, I will pay the bill. Because that was me. You know, I was an identity. I stole your identity. That's how I kept my addiction going. I stole your identity. I was a forger. I stole your identity. And I shopped. And I sold. So I could get what I want. I don't want the drugs now. But that's the rush. That's the chase. But if I don't share it, I might go home and do it again. You know, if I don't tell you the truth about the pain and how I'm balled up and what I want to do to act out to make myself feel better. It's a quick fix, but it doesn't fix a darn thing. I got to do the work. I have to do the work. I don't want to do the work all the time. I don't want to. I just want the pain to be gone. I want to wake up one morning and say, it's over, it's done. But it's not. It's a process. It's a process. It's a process of letting go and letting God. But I let go and then I take it back. I let go and I take it back. And in reality, I don't want that relationship back. I don't want it back. But I want to let you think I do. I want to let you think I do. Sure, you want to take me out to dinner with that? Sure, take me out to dinner. I don't want to hurt him.
just right now. Just right now, I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to cause the pain that I'm in. I have the ability to cause pain to somebody else. And because of my pain, I rationalize and justify and tell you it's right. I'm human. I'll cause pain to people unintentionally. When I cause pain to somebody intentionally, when I go out to cause that harm, that's the disease of addiction telling me that it's right. And I don't want that disease to have that power over me anymore. I want to do the step work. I want to write the question. I want to write the answers. I want to share with my sponsor. I want to share with my we. I want to share with you and tell you that I need to lessen my pain. If anybody can help me and tell me how to get through this, how to let go and let God in this situation and not play a game, not play a mind game. The disease plays mind games with me on a regular basis. He's a recovering addict too. So the disease plays with his mind too. I don't need to be another part of that disease playing with his mind. I don't need to cause any more pain. If I don't tell you that I hurt, walk in with a smile on my face. You know, I work in treatment. I work in treatment. Some people knew what was going on. But if I didn't tell you, you didn't know. Because I walked into work every day with a smile on my face, happy and cheery, greeting the clients and the patients, showing them that recovery is possible, that life can change. Sometimes I go in my office, shut the door, bawl my eyes out, put more makeup on and walk back out. But that was my escape. When I walked out the door, the reality hit and I had to deal with it. At work, I didn't have to deal with it because I was too busy with everything else. And that was my escape and my safe zone. But when I leave home, I'm by myself. I'm by myself at 51 years old. For the first time in my life. I was married at 20. Lived at home, then married at 20. Divorced at 42. No, 40. I was divorced at 40. With my children, they were at home. My children have all gone. My husband was there. Now he's gone. A disease plays with me. So I run to meetings. Meetings that I don't normally go to. I'm on the phone. I'm busy in service work. Because see, that's what keeps me clean. This program of Narcotics Anonymous, when I have to sit down with the tablet, you know, I've thrown so many ink pens behind my bed, you know, sitting there and just throwing them and getting another one out and just throwing, because I'm mad, I'm angry because what I'm putting out on the paper, I see it's affecting me and how it's affecting me. And I pray. And I share. And I know that I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one who's been in pain, who didn't know how to cope with it, who didn't know how to function, who didn't know how to hurt people. You know, didn't know how not to hurt people. So I come here and I tell you that. And I ask for help. Because see, I know that if I share, I've lifted a burden off of me today because I've shared. I've lifted some burden off of me. I've lessened that. You know, I've lessened that burden only because the program of Narcotics Anonymous has taught me to be honest. It's given me some integrity. Most of all, it's given me some self-control. It's one of those spiritual principles we don't talk very much about, self-control. But it's in there. You know, let God do what he has to do with me, whether I like it or not. Taking me through a journey that I'm destined to go through. That I'm destined to go through. That's where I'm supposed to be here right now. I'm supposed to be in this pain. I'm supposed to do some things. I'm supposed to do some work to get me to where I need to be. Because see, right now it's just, I'm in a hallway. All the doors are shut and all the windows are shut. You know, I love somebody said, you know, you hear, oh, if God shuts the door, he'll open a window. Sometimes God says, no, I want you to sit there. If I wanted you outside, I'd open the door. Why do people think there's a window for you to climb through? No, I want you to sit there. I want you to go through it, because when I go through it, I'm going to grow through it. I have a room. It's my prayer room, and on it I have post-it notes colored up. Post-it notes all over the walls. It's decorated in rainbows of post-it notes, you know, with forgiveness, grace, mercy. My favorite one says, grow through it. And I write that all the time on the top of my work when I sit down with the tablet. Grow through it. Because this program is going to make me grow. I'm going to share my pain. You are going to help me. Because I know you are. And I'm going to grow through it to become the woman that I'm supposed to be. Thanks for allowing me to share.